What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike. Like always, thanking you guys for coming back, tuning into the channel, just continuing to grow with me. Hopefully, it's causing something in you to grow as well. And always trying my best, looking around, what great interviews, what great information can I bring to you guys? And with this particular guest, I'm pretty sure he had no idea I was eyeing him as a potential interview conversation. But to be honest with you, I love the fact that we all carry a story, that we all carry meaning of something. Now, sometimes we carry pain and we just allow it to just be pain. I'm the type of person that if we have pain, I have a strong feeling if we heal from it, we can convert it into purpose and it can help and uplift others. Hence why the Mac Effect is born. So with that being said, guys, I want to introduce to you guys a friend of mine that now he's my friend. I'm so glad that I was able to meet him. My friend, Doug.
Hey, Doug. What's up, man?
Thanks for coming on the podcast, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
I really appreciate it. So I'm going to give the viewers, the listeners, just a quick little background as to how I met Doug. So Doug has a daughter that is very close friends with my daughter, Genevieve. And, well, like any kid, they always want to hang out. They always want to have ice cream, boba, whatever. They're always wanting to hang out. And I came across Doug. And when I started talking to Doug, heard a little bit about his story. And I was like, dude, he doesn't even know, but I think he's going to come on the podcast. So here you are, man. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that we met. I'm glad that we met.
Yeah, same. Thanks for having me. I know. I didn't know at the time either. I just knew our daughters had that common bond.
Yeah.
And then I started to hear about your story. So I kind of pick up on the little signals that you're going through something similar that I went through. And just to be able to talk to you about that, it was really nice. So,
yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And before we even dig into those details and that part of the conversation, I do want to just know a little bit more about Doug, like his background. Doug, where are you raised? Where did you come from? Where are you raised? You know, a little bit of your childhood, just to kind of have a understanding of a little bit of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. Born and raised California, but I was born in Northern California, East Bay.
Okay.
So I grew up a Raiders, Oakland A's fan. I'm sorry, everyone. But that's how I was. I went through, actually, it's a really long story, which we'll get into, but I was all California, but just back and forth. Like I tell people, I think I counted one time, I went to 7 schools growing up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I moved a lot.
Wow.
So born mostly Northern California, went to high school up there, came down here for college, Chapman University.
Okay, nice.
And then I got married, had kids, got divorced, as the story usually goes, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I know we can get caught up in you're talking a lifetime, and what you just shared right now, like, obviously a couple seconds, but you're talking a lifetime. I'm aware, you know, life happens. We're in high school. You went to college, you mentioned, and then you married, had a family.
Yep.
Obviously, no one ever gets married thinking it's going to end in a divorce.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the reasons why I did wanted to bring you, because obviously going through the situation that I'm going through, which I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to share many details with my situation because since it's fresh and it's new, I want to process. I don't want to blurt things out and then I hurt the other party or I hurt myself because we have kids.
Yep.
These little hearts matter. But I wanted to bring you in because I know we hear a lot about the women's side, like, you know, well, he was this and he was that and this and that. But I don't hear a lot of the man side of, like, what did you feel? What were you going through? So, I mean, again, how long has it been since your divorce?
Yeah, I was just doing the math last night. And I also want to preface, too, I don't want to bring any ill will, too, towards my ex. I mean, it's been
beautiful.
I just did the math. It'll be 9 years in November
that
we have been separated / divorced.
Okay.
Time.
Yeah. I want to reiterate that too, because I've had previous episodes where some people are like, oh, you're being shady by saying this. And it's like, no, this is not to throw dirt to, or this is not gossip.
Yeah.
I want to hear healing. Yeah. I want to hear the process. I want to hear your pain. I want to see, you know, how Doug stood back up and said, hey, we're going to move forward. Life doesn't just stop here just because of this situation. That's the power I'm trying to bring for viewers and listeners, not the he said, she said, none of that stuff. So thank you for bringing that up too.
Absolutely. It's tough in the beginning to not do that, to not be that. But where my ex and I have gotten to over the 9 years, and now we're both moving on with our respective lives now, I don't have any ill will. All that stuff is a past. And you're beautiful. Right. It really is about how you learn to grow and how you learn to change through those times. And that's really what's going to be the catalyst to anyone getting out of it, becoming better.
Yeah. The run, so. How old were you, Doug, when you got married?
Oh, man, geez. 27? 27.
27.
I think. Yeah, because Taylor, my oldest, was born when I was 30. And I feel like we waited a couple years before we had her. So, yeah, I think 27.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And by then, you were already graduated from college.
Yep.
I
had met her in my last few months of college. I took a break in between high school and kind of just did the community college thing.
I'm still taking a break from college. No, but to be honest, these are things that even in my process now, there has been an arising question. Why not go back?
Yeah.
It's never too late. Absolutely. You could get a degree, a certification, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So you met her in college, on your way out of graduating. Mm-hmm. You had your family. You have two daughters.
Two daughters. Olivia. Taylor's 12. Olivia will turn 11 next month. Olivia and Jenna are the ones that are friends.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay. So you started your family. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind sharing, what do you think caused the rockiness between starting the discussion? How long were you guys married before you guys were like, we might need to separate?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the good, it was 6 years, 7 months around that we were actually married. We knew each other probably 8 total or dating.
Got it.
But I say that interesting because you said the discussion, and I think that was what we really lapsed in ours, right? When it got to the point of divorce, when we were finally, that was it. There wasn't like a 2-day window before it went from what seemed like things were okay to like, okay, we're getting a divorce. Wow. And that was shocking to me. I think that was the hardest part for me going through it was, it seemed like we gave up on it so quickly. Where so many people, including my new fiance, they spent so much time trying to make it work. They knew things weren't going to be good or
peachy,
it
wasn't. Correct.
So they're like, what can we do to try to make this? We'll go to therapy. We'll do certain things. With me and mine, it was like, man, I felt like a week at the most that we were maybe struggling, and then it was like straight into divorce. Mm. It was hard.
That's why I wanted to bring this conversation up, you see, because I want, this has nothing to do with sex, like, it's just the man side. This is relationship side, like, there's the person that sees it from kind of like a blind side, and there's the other one that maybe doesn't, or internally, there's a lot of feelings going on.
For sure.
That the reality is, like, you got to know what culture we're being brought up in. You know, we are in a culture right now where it's almost like, do whatever makes you happy. And if you want to throw it away and just get a new one.
Yeah.
And in my grandparent generation, it's like, no, if it's broken, you try to fix it. Yeah. But it's challenging because there's a lot of stuff that goes in between. You know, we don't know exactly what happened in the marriage and all that stuff. But so 6 years, almost 7 years, this happens and you feel like it kind of hit you from like a blind side. You're like, wait, just from one minute to another?
Yeah, almost. I mean, I can remember the day I had had feelings like I was kind of in this moment of like, well, I wasn't sure about, you know, what love is and that kind of thing. I think these are normal feelings to have. And so I approached her. I had kind of written stuff down. It was like the first time I journaled anything, and I journaled out like all my thoughts. And some of them were like, I pride myself being a good dad. I want to try to be a good husband. I just a whole bunch of list of things. And I brought it to her attention. And that's kind of what the catalyst was. I think she took it as I was saying, I wanted to quit. I want to be done. But I didn't come in with that intention. I'm sure the way I must have said it didn't. But from that moment forward, it was kind of like, hands up, we threw our hands up and that was it.
Mm.
And like I said, that was hard because for the longest time, it triggers some, like, I've gone to therapy, abandonment issues in my past so that triggered all of that stuff for me, and it was really hard. And then I felt guilty, too, for my kids because, oh, why didn't we try harder, you know, and those type of things. But yeah, so it was kind of like that, those feelings I had, I brought it to light. From there forward, it just was, there was no, sadly, saving it. We were just kind of on that path to go down.
Mm. Okay, and I love it. Again, I don't know, you know, you guys are kind of meeting me as I'm kind of still meeting him. It's not like we have a 10-year relationship and I know a lot of the background and the details of his situation. I'm learning them as well. And I also want to be delicate because, again, we're not trying to bash anyone. Yep. But at the same time, it's like I'm just curious to, like, I want to kind of nip these things in the bud so that you guys can learn from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully your marriage doesn't end in a situation like that. Who wanted the divorce, you or her?
Well, if it comes down to paper, she filed.
Okay.
Not me. Okay. And then there was a very quick moment of me having to leave the house, getting kicked out.
Yeah.
I think in the long run, we both wanted it. We wouldn't have ended up
at the end. Correct. Right. Correct.
And it's the way it's supposed to happen. So you know, that's what's happened. But I feel like, without trying to bash her, I feel like she was the catalyst to having it actually take it.
Yeah, once. Yeah. And when you got served, how did that feel for you? Were those days very difficult for you? Were those days that you were just in total shock? Were those days that, you know, because people see the after, which is beautiful. I'm glad you moved on. She's moved on. She has her partner. Mm-hmm. You have yours. You said fiance, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But those moments, and those are the moments, like, I'm getting chills because those are moments that I want to be there for people that are going through it, because those are moments where, at least for me, it's like you almost want it, like, I don't know how to say it or express it correctly, but it's like they're just horrible days, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to just figure out with you, like, how were those days for you?
Yeah, it was shock and numb. I was numb and shocked. I mean, because the initial thing was like, oh my gosh, we're getting divorced. Like, that's, I had not put any of that into my plan of things that are going to happen in your life. I had to move back in with my parents. So at 30, whatever years old, I had to go back to my mom's house because, I mean, we didn't have income to support two households.
Where was your mom at? You guys,
Toronto.
You guys were where?
Yorba Linda.
Yorba Linda.
We lived over by this, right next to where our daughters go to school.
Okay, okay. So then you moved out to Corona.
With my mom. She offered me up to place to stay because I technically got kicked out. It was just shock and numb. I was still, you know, when big things happen like that, you don't have the capacity to process what else is going on in your life. You're just trying to go day by day sometimes. And that was the hardest thing. It was just numb and shock.
Who was your support system at that time? Or did you feel kind of you were doing life all by your own?
Yeah, my mom and my stepdad were my support system.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they really stepped up. I mean, with my kids too, because I had such crazy feelings. Like, I felt guilty for my kids, and almost to the point where, like, I didn't want them because I felt so ashamed in front of them of what I did.
Mm.
And, like, it was the weirdest thing. You would think in front of your kids you would not feel that way, but I did, because I was like, I just screwed up their whole life. In my head, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But my mom and my stepdad were like, no, we are dragging you here to pick up your kids. We will take you to everything you need to go to. We try to find new stuff to do. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people don't have support systems. Again, I think her family, my ex's family, they're all like Yorba Linda born and raised, and they all live in this area. So there's a big community around her, but I definitely didn't have as big of a community.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hit some things right now that I'm like, man, that's so crazy. I bring up your support system because anyone that needs a support system, you need it. It's not a, should I have it? Do I think I can? I'll just do this by myself. Have a support system. Do not go through this by yourself. It's very, very difficult. Glad you had your parents. You mentioned, you know, feeling like you failed. Yeah. Many men feel that. And then even more questions start arising. What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? Am I not good enough? Like, am I this broken? And you mentioned you went to therapy. Had you gone to therapy before this?
So we, as a, when we were married,
like, and I'm talking more individual. I'm not saying marriage.
Okay. Yes. So as soon as we got separated and divorced, I moved to Corona. I decided I wanted to go to therapy.
But before that, have you ever gotten therapy?
Yes, because I went through it. My parents went through a divorce too.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But again, I was so young when that happened. I can't even recall what it was about or me personally changing because of it. But for sure, when I first got separated, I went through therapy because I think more like that's the thing you should do. It felt like, right. I'm sure I learned some stuff in it, but didn't really affect me as much as this current. Like, so I'm in therapy now every week.
Nice.
And the stuff that I'm going through now for the last couple of years, this has been where it's been like the huge change in my life.
Okay.
This is where I'm, and this is now we're talking, you know, years after divorce.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes that much time before your mind is truly ready to say, I need to do something
again. And I love it. Thank you, Doug, for being so open and honest with the situation that you're going through, because people think like, okay, after a year, you should already be bounced back. After 2 years, you should bounce back.
Yeah,
it could take five. It could take six. And you could heal from specific areas. Absolutely. But like it's traumatic. Yeah. And be graceful with yourself. Be patient with yourself. And I'm glad that you're sharing these really key nuggets, man. Yeah. Thank you.
It's your path, not anyone else's path.
Correct.
Right? People go, it needs to be a year or 2 years. You should be out there doing whatever. No, it is your path at your speed, and you need to take it at that speed.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay. I was asking about the therapy because, you know, I don't know if it's men. No, it's not just men. It's women as well. You know, we're boneheads until... until we hit ourselves in a wall or we find ourselves in a low place, now we're looking for therapy. If we would be proactive, which is one of the things that I constantly say, that's why I keep looking for therapists. That's why I suggest where I go. You know, I've always mentioned Breath of Life, because when you heal yourself, you also start healing the people around you. You mentioned, you know, feeling like a failure with the kids. It has nothing to do with you didn't want to be an active dad. You didn't want to be a present dad.
Right.
It is somewhat embarrassing and challenging. And I get that. I get that. Wow. And how do you think overall the kids were taking it when this was going on?
They were young. I mean, Taylor.
That's right. That's
Taylor
right.
Taylor must have been three, maybe going on four. And Olivia was turning three babies.
Yeah.
So they don't even remember the first house. We always call it house one in your one, house two, house three, because we've had a couple now.
Yeah.
They don't remember. I do remember my youngest, Olivia, having a little bit more. She didn't understand why daddy was going. And so she would do the attachment thing. Like when I'd have to turn her over to my ex, she would cling to me, you know. That was hard to deal with personally. And there's a lot of times when that happened, I would just go back in my house, my mom's house at the time, and just cry, you know, because I just didn't understand, you know, what was happening and how to do this. But they were resilient and they were young. So they've got to be resilient. And now, you know, that this is their whole life. That's all they've known. And I think an important part of, if I reflect on my childhood going through my parents' divorces, I purposely tried to be so active in my kids' lives. I mean, I would go to everything that they had, open houses, to try to not let them see the difference between not having two parents. Even with divorce, you're going to go through divorce, but if we both can be a part of their life every day.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Thank you again for sharing, because everything that you're saying right now, I'm learning, but at the same time, I want viewers and listeners to learn, which is why I bring you guys these great conversations, which is why I want to bring to you guys these moments, because I believe we all can learn from each other's story. Doug's not someone super famous that has a million followers on his social medias. But it's a story to say, you know what? I know what it feels like, men or women that are going through difficult times. Kid withdrawal is heavy. It's hard. You go back home. You cry. Like I saw a meme, not a meme. It was an Instagram story. I don't know the guy's name. But anyways, he's famous. And he was mentioning how he's like, everyone was telling me like, you know, now that you're single and this and that. And little did they know, I would go back to my house, into my kid's room, and I would cry sometimes.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is I'm missing them. I'm not looking for a single life. I wasn't looking for this. They should be in their beds, and they're not here. And, you know, you go through that emotional withdrawal. Mm-hmm. I share it again because I want all of us to have grace and mercy for one another. And if you feel like, oh, like, poor guy, pray for them. God give them strength. Yeah. God bless them. God help them. Your story, whoever's getting touched by it, bless them. So you're going through this situation, and the kids are very resilient, which is something that my counselor and mentor tell me the same thing, which is tough because there's a part of you that's like, you know, it's like, I know they are, but it's like, I don't want them to go through this. How do you deal with going through something you didn't want to go through, but you had to go through?
like this divorce or something. How do you deal with it? One foot in front of the other day by day, and you learn as you go. I mean,
one step at a time. I love it.
There's no, yeah, one step at a time. There's no equation for each. You can't just give yourself an equation. If you did these steps, you'd go through it. Everyone's is so different, you know, from the stories that I've heard of. Every divorce is different in the way that people co-parent. Every kid is different the way they deal with it. For me, it was a lot of self-reflection, a lot of personal time, finding things to do. We were just talking before, you know, you pick up golfing and hiking. I did a lot of those things. I would go to try to find a new community of people that I could hang out with. I did a therapy was on it. But for kids, I think for me and the kids, it was just letting them experience this process too and being there in that process with them, right? A lot of people would protect their kids from it, like, I don't want you to ever see it, or maybe some people just ignore their kids. But I think it's, you know, if you're there at all these things, you're going to be a part of their life, pick up from school, sports activities. Yeah. You're going to see their struggles with it, you know, with other kids who aren't divorced, and you can just be there to talk to them about it, you know. Yeah. It's their path too, so.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And in this time that was happening, obviously, you were working at the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And was your ex-wife working at the time?
No.
Okay. So, because all these things come into play, and I mean, the details don't matter at the end of the day, but work makes it difficult because it's like, we still need income.
Yep.
How was that to juggle work and the kids for you?
It was tough. I was a sole provider, and my job, I'd worked my way up to an executive level at an insurance company. And the insurance company was based in Scottsdale, Arizona, not here. So in order to be a part of these meetings, I had to not only be in Scottsdale a lot, I had to be all of where my clients were in their conferences. I think I was on the road probably 75% of the time. Well, now that doesn't help with a marriage.
That makes
it tough. Correct, so if we're already having issues, then that's only going to exasperate it. But yeah. But yeah, that was tough. So speaking of work and speaking of humbling moments and learning, when we got divorced or filed, that was a big part of why my custody didn't work out the way I wanted it to, because I was gone a lot. So I had to make the personal decision to quit that job. And that came with a lot of money that I had to give up to do it. But more important to me was being at my kids' stuff that I could do. So I took a job that didn't have a lot of travel. I mean, I took a huge cut in pay. But it was worth it to me. But that was also a humbling learning experience too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, letting go of money is a challenging thing. I remember when I became a stay-at-home dad, our income went down a chunk. Yeah. And then you have to readjust your lifestyle to that, to the new income or whatever. But on a side note, I know for you it was urgent, or it was very important for you to be involved in your kids' life. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that generates from you? Is it because you felt there was a lack of intentionality with you growing up with your parents, or is that just that you saw it a lot from your mom and dad that you're like, I want to do the same for my children?
Yeah, now you're getting the good stuff. So it was from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So my parents both worked too. My parents got divorced as well.
How old were you?
Six when it happened.
Okay.
Six. But they did the, let's try to make it work. They moved out, they moved back in, they did a lot. There was a lot of confusion and chaos because of that. So they both worked, and then when they got separated, divorced, my dad, I was living in Northern California. My dad got a job in Southern California. So he moved 300 miles away, and they just couldn't be at everything, right? My mom had to work, so she couldn't go to soccer practices or soccer games. And then I just didn't get to see him. I mean, when my dad moved to Southern California, I had to get on a plane every other weekend. And I was on a plane to go do my visitation with my dad. And that's a lot of stuff where you're just missing out on a child that's a normal routine child.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So when I got to my divorce, you know, sadly I had to go through that. I reflected back on that a lot. I'm like, there's no way I'll ever be where I'm not going to be right next to them. Like, until they're, you know, 45, you know, I will still be next to them or doing all their activities on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So I took it from that, I guess.
Dude, I mean, I'm very impressed with your vulnerability. I'm very impressed with how open, how therapy has opened your eyes. Like, you know, I went through this with my parents. Like, I can tell you have gone through healing, because I know that it's sad to say, like, no one was really there, but I'm not excusing them, because they should have been there for me. Nevertheless, I don't hold it against them, because I understood that mom had to go to work because we needed food on our table. Mm-hmm. Dad was 300 miles away, so we knew he wasn't going to come. And you being in a plane every other weekend, dude, not the normal, typical childhood. But through healing, now you've kind of forgiven that, moved on from it, and you're like, I can't change the past, but I can definitely change my present. So, Doug, good work, man. Like, I'm very impressed. Again, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on. Doug, another question. This is just me being, I don't want to say nosy, but just interested. Do you practice a type of religion or no?
I don't practice religion, but I'm heavily religious personally.
Okay.
So, like, I have a Bible I read. I read books that are based on religious podcasts sometimes. I do believe in God. And I do believe he works in us and through us to make us better. But it is on us to meet him kind of halfway. We have to do our part too.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people kind of get to that point where they almost throw their hands up and say, God will take care of it. Yeah, he will. But we have to do our own work.
100%.
Right? We have to meet him.
100%. It's like, God, find me a job.
Yeah, well.
But it's like, it's not just going to land. You build your resume, build your cover letter, send out door knocker. What's it called when you go to door to door?
Oh yeah, selling door to door.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, do what you have to do. But 100%. I am a Christian. That's the religion that I do practice. But I agree with you. You can't just say it. You have to match it with your actions. I can't say love your neighbor and I'm constantly fighting and bickering with someone next to me. Then it's kind of like, you're not really, you know, so, okay, so.
It's funny. So my dad used to say this phrase all the time. He used to say, God helps those who help themselves. And for the longest time, I thought that phrase was like, you know, how you help yourself to more food. Like, you keep helping yourself to more and more.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't make sense. But it finally clicked, I don't know, at some point in my adult. It means those who take the time to invest in themselves to make them better, God will help those people.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Okay, all right, nice, nice. And, okay, so. This is going on now. You're going through your emotions. You're going through healing, clearly 100% healing, which I'm glad, which is again, what I push people to do, because at the end of the day, whatever you're going through, yes, it's your fault, but at the same time, it's not your fault, because we're all broken and they brought something, you brought something, and we got to figure it out so that we don't repeat this cycle. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Until you change, then that insanity is going to break, and now you're journeying on a different path. So you're separated now. You're figuring your own life out. How did you? Now we're going to get to the juicier part, where it's, how long did it take you to get back on that horse and say, you know what, I kind of like this woman, and now she's your fiance?
Yeah. A while.
Yeah.
A long while. And for a while, I was like, oh, man, am I ever going to? It didn't mean I didn't date. I went out on dates, and I casually dated, but I just didn't ever want to take it any further than just a casual, like, couple dates or something like that.
Interesting.
You know.
Because of fear, because of the trauma, or just you didn't find interest?
At first didn't find interest because I had just gotten out of a serious thing. So I was like, I don't really want another one. And then it became my kids. And I actually just didn't date for like 3 or 4 years out of all this 9 years that we've been separated. I just didn't.
Wow.
I just focused 100% on being there for my kids. And it was right when I finally moved back out of my mom's and got my own place, which you've come by and seen. Nothing glamorous, but it was my own place. It was like me and my kids had this place, and I just took all the time for them.
Beautiful.
And it was amazing for our relationship, me and my daughter's relationship. We became best friends almost. I mean, we would spend all the time just doing what we wanted to do, going where we wanted to be. I didn't have to worry about anyone else, and I just got to grow with them and be that. So
beautiful.
And then to continue on, because you asked the question. So they finally, you know, as we're learning about our daughters, they start to get their own life. They have their own friends.
Identity,
and
correct.
I can start telling that they don't need me as much. They just, you know, I want to spend sleepovers. So that's when I kind of started, okay, and now I'm ready to see what might be out there, what's next.
And, interesting.
And sadly to say, in our world, dating apps are the thing. And so I just got on a dating app and he's the first person. I know it's the weird, most random story. And for her too, it was the first person. And we went on the date and I just knew that this person was someone that I could see going forward with.
Wow. When it comes to apps, funny, I mean, I'm glad it worked out for you. I saw a meme on social media that said that someone should just put all the apps into one place and just call it the leftovers. And I started cracking up. But, I mean, that's the reality. We are in technology days nowadays. You shouldn't limit your circle into just school, church, whatever it is, you know. But I'm glad that that worked for you.
It took a lot.
The first one, and was it kind of like embarrassing for you? Like, oh, I can't believe I'm signing up to an application.
That's what took a lot, is that getting over that initial, like, I was like, there's no way. I'll find someone else. I'll go to a bar. I'll go to church. I'll go to whatever. I'll find it that way. But, yeah, it's harder nowadays, I think. I mean, even when you're out at the fields or the sports fields, it's just, I don't know. People aren't looking the same way. But, yeah, I had to get over that. Okay, I was like, fine, I'll just do it. I'll do this one. And then, yeah, that worked out.
Do you mind sharing the app?
Sure, Hinge.
Hinge?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. And the first one, that was her?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that popped up, I remember her picture. I still tell her all the time. It's like this one where her head's turned. I was like, okay, I like that. And I talked to a couple other people on it after, but she was always the first one and the only one that I ever went on a date with from it, too.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow, wow. And, okay, and... how long have you been with her now?
So yesterday was our month anniversary. So 2 years and 3 months.
Month anniversary.
I know. We have it on our phone just to remind us. Now that we're engaged, I'm sure it's going to get less important to have a month anniversary. But
yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yep. And how's the new relationship working out for you? Was it scary for you to kind of get back on the horse, or was it something that you're like, I'm very glad I'm doing this? I mean, obviously you're engaged, so you're going to get married again. You're not afraid of being married again, but was it scary to get back out there again?
Yeah, good question. For multiple reasons. I mean, it wasn't scary to start dating. I was excited to do that, but it was started to get scary, or I shouldn't just, it's a great relationship. It's amazing together. I'll preface with that. But there are things that get scary, right? I'm about to introduce my daughters into a new world.
Absolutely.
With them. And, and like I just said, we took 3 years to just be us. So is that going to be scary for them, uncomfortable for them? Is there going to be that change?
Yeah.
So far, my daughters love her and they've gotten along, even with her kids too. So that's kind of quashed that. But now we're
new territory. Yeah. I didn't know. So she has kids. Mm-hmm. So now you're bringing two mixed families together to try to make one.
Yeah.
And we got to worry about their little hearts, your daughter's hearts, your guys' hearts. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff to vary. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but these are territories that are new.
Yep.
I'm sure all this was new to you, that you're like, you know, I want to make sure I don't cross boundaries or do this or do that. And here you are. So I'm just like very interested. Yeah. So right now, before I cut you off, I'm sorry, you were actually going to mention something.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think to your point, it's and I don't want to lose out on the time that I have with my daughters, right? So if I bring them all into this new world, am I going to lose out on the one-on-one time or our trio time?
Correct.
So you still have to find ways to do that, I feel like.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing. I think, you know, there's also our other party side that get tough sometimes. So we're not just involved with each other. We have our exes as well. And so that has to come into play sometimes as well. And that adds a bit of complexity that I don't think I thought of going to a relationship post. You know, when you got married and when I got married the first time, it was just us two. I don't think about anyone else. There's no other kids. So, but there's just more complexity to it.
That absolutely.
It takes a lot of patience, a lot of self-reflecting, a lot of therapy for me too, because a lot of the issues that do come up currently are because of my abandonments. A lot of that, like when I was a kid stuff, if anything comes up where I can feel it, like something's wrong or I feel something's wrong. A lot of it I can trace back to me going, okay, this was something that happened.
Same.
And I'm just, you know,
same.
Reliving it.
And I bring that awareness because, again, insanity, we don't want the same thing to happen again.
Right.
So you have to be aware that it's triggering something.
Yep.
So that this next marriage doesn't lead to the same outcome as that first one. And it sounds kind of hard, like, man, bro, like, why are you saying that? And it's like, we're going to call things what they are. I'm going to stop being afraid of saying the word divorce, separation, yeah. this, that, because I'm going to nip it in its butt and I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen again, you know? So that's the awareness that I'm trying to awaken, that I'm trying to bring to people, the story of why I wanted to bring you on, because you're the story of like, yeah, there's heartbreak. It's sad. It's yeah. uncomfortable. But if you keep pressing one day at a time, one foot at a time, you know, at some point it's going to click to something beautiful.
It will.
Beautiful.
But that's part. And part two is make the effort to make yourself better.
Being intentional. Absolutely.
Go to therapy, you know, learn from your past mistakes. That's how we get better in the long run. That's how it happens. Yes, you take one foot in the front of it and then you say, okay, what can I do better this
time? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Everything that has happened in your life, Doug, everything to the point to that you are now, what is something that you can look back to and say, I'm so grateful I learned from that lesson? If in anything, in divorce, individually, school, whatever, something for Doug that you're like, thank you, God, for letting me learn this.
Yeah. Divorce, you know, we don't think of it as a good thing, but personally for me, it changed me so much. It made me focus. It made me reprioritize my focus on things that were really matter. And probably God was the catalyst for doing it. People think of believing in God and go, well, if God exists, then nothing bad would happen. But, you know, sometimes he uses the bad in your life to make you better. And I think that's what has sort of happened through this, right? I like I mentioned, I traveled probably 75% of the time. Was I the best present dad at that moment? No. But he sure as hell, took my situation and showed me what was going to be the best, my kids. Money is not important. Get a job that you can focus on that. That's probably the biggest life lesson, the biggest, and I say life lessons too, the hardest part of my life too was that, is going through that and being open to being the change and learning those lessons.
Love it.
But it's amazing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And for me, my takeaway in that is a question that I have that I constantly ask God. I say, God, why do we have to reach rock bottom to finally look inward? Mm-hmm. Because if you would have done the work inward before marriage, maybe it wouldn't have ended in a divorce. Maybe it would have been a marriage that continues. But then there's a lot of factors too, Doug. It's the culture that we're in, the times that we're being raised in. You know, infidelity is at a super high rate right now with social media that doesn't help.
Yeah.
A lot of things are becoming more acceptable. Crazy things, right? And it's just that's what arises from me. I'm like, God, what can I do to start preventing this? Because I'm kind of like, it sounds corny, but it's like anti-divorce. Like I want to defeat this thing because I feel like it's too crazy. Like it's too normal. But like you did mention, it's actually biblical. The Bible verse says, God works all things for its good for those who love him. Mm-hmm. The key point is for those who love him. If you truly love the Lord, he's going to use the pain and he's going to turn it into something good for you. And in your cases, you learned how to value more your family, your daughters, yourself. Mm-hmm. You realized the abandonment issues that eventually you're like, this is what's going to make me a better father. Because I see it, bro. I mean, just the way your daughters approach you, the way they hug you. I almost want to get sentimental right now. But it's just, to me, the importance of a father, mm-hmm. I see it, how crucial it is in man, in a boy or in a girl,
absolutely.
They need a father. Yes, they need a mother. Don't get me wrong. Okay, yes, they need a mother. They need both. That's the reason why God did both. But when a father presence is there, like the statistics are there, Doug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without fathers and the kids' lives and how bad their lives. Absolutely. Yeah.
The statistics are there. And it's like, my goodness, for me, I see your daughter, man, I love that she went with Genevieve for her birthday party. We brought her to dinner with her, and I just, the way she behaved and conducted herself, I was like, wow. And then she was sharing things to me, and I'm like in the stages of like just learning this stuff. So to me, I'm like, like, what? Like your dad's fiance and all this. I'm like, what? And, yeah. But it goes to show that when you have love, all that stuff turns into something great.
Absolutely. Having that love in the family and the life, and it doesn't go away just because marriage ends. You find your own love with your own kids, and you continue to show them love every day, and that'll reflect out for sure.
And when it comes to self-love for yourself, I know earlier you mentioned you start discovering things, you know, golf, which he was flexing on me earlier. He's like, I can play a whole 18 holes and I don't lose a ball. And
it doesn't mean that the ball is always on the fairway, but I find it. And I'm determined to find that ball because I want to last.
And I told him, I said, bro, I could lose 20 of them and I'm still trying. But nevertheless, how difficult was that for you to start building that self-love for yourself?
Hard and a long time to do, you know.
Is it still hard or not really?
It is. It's still hard. You get better at it though. You catch yourself. I think you just, you know, when especially when I was going through the divorce, you get in a downward spiral, right? Like you get in nothing's going to change. I'm always going to be like this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ever get myself better to where, you know, I'll be back to normal. And it's just easy to do that. It's so easy to stay in the negative, you know? But you really do have to work hard, and it's a lot of, you know, like sadly to say, self-help books or positive podcasts or, you know, just things like that.
Being intentional,
where you, then you start catching it. You're like, oh, this is me just being negative. It's not really true.
Yes.
And then it just starts flowing to more positively type things.
Correct. Beautiful. Beautiful said. Doug, we've already been a little bit over 40, 50 minutes-ish. Anything in your heart that you maybe want to cover or that we didn't cover enough that you're like, I want to just touch a little bit on that? Anything?
No, I mean, not really. We've touched about a lot. And I think the more the gist or the overall message is that, you know, yeah, things do get better if you do the effort to do it. Take the time to really reflect on yourself. If this is for a guy's podcast of people going through similar things, take the time in each moment to be present in that. You know, understand what's happening to you. Take the time to better yourself. It does get better. It will. Believe in that. Have hope in that.
I love it. Again, the reason why I wanted to bring him, because we all have these beautiful stories that you think you're going through this alone. You're really not. People know exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you're going through. I know you're not that religious, but in my mind, I think it's the enemy wanting to isolate you, because when you're by yourself, it's easier to tear you down. But when you're with the proper people, it's not going to be that easy. But we do have to be intentional of self-developing ourselves, not staying in that funk, and keep pushing forward one foot at a time.
Yep.
Doug, thank you so much for sharing. Man. Thank you so much for being open. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys have questions for Doug, questions for me, comment. My information is going to be there. I'll ask Doug for his information, please, too, and I'll put it right there so that you guys can reach out to him as well. Any questions, we might not even be able to help you. We might at least confine you the help as well. But at the end of the day, you got to be brave enough to at least say, I need it. You know, I need that help, and I'm tired of being here. So, with that being said, guys, hopefully you guys tune in for next week. But I really appreciate you guys for tuning in. With a lot of love, with a lot of respect, I say to you guys, peace out, guys. I'll see you guys. Peace.